We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. You're tuned to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and FM 90.9 HD2. We're online at will.illinois.edu. Our guest this afternoon is Susan Kundrat. She's a licensed registered dietitian, and she joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month, to talk about diet and nutrition. Last week, though, we took kind of an extended weekend, and because of the holiday on the first, which was on Friday, so we asked her to come in on the second Monday of the month. So here we are. So if you've got questions about diet and nutrition, give us a call, 333-9455. That's the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. We also have a toll-free number, that number, 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and president of Nutrition on the Move. She works with clients of all ages and athletes on enhancing health, fitness, and sports performance. She's an adjunct lecturer with the University of Illinois Food Science and Human Nutrition Department. She's also the consulting sports dietitian for Illini Athletics and leads nutrition and cooking classes at the ARC. That's the Division of Campus Recreation Activities and Recreation Center on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You'll find her on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. Questions about diet and nutrition are invited this afternoon. Again, the phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. It's a beautiful day out there today.
It is. It's on the warm side.
It feels warm, doesn't it?
It does. Even though it's below freezing, it's 20 degrees. But, you know, we've been in the single digits there.
Right.
Several days. So, yeah, it feels nice and warm.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would you like to talk with us this afternoon to start out with ahead of folks calling in?
Well, what I did is I put together top nutrition tips for this year. And I kind of thought about, you know, with nutrition, we often talk about how important it is to actually be able to do the things we talk about. Because, of course, you can read all about exercise and nutrition and taking care of yourself, but it's a little harder to actually do it. So I got to thinking that maybe it would be nice for our listeners to have kind of at least what I would consider maybe the top 10 things nutritionally that they could do to really start the new year and try to incorporate nutrition on a daily basis, which is really what it's all about. So our listeners can send a self-addressed stamped envelope and get this information here. So we can start with that. So number one on my list for the new year is to build your own nutrition schedule and stick with it. Now, not to say that everybody has to eat at the same times every day, but I think sometimes we don't eat well because we just don't plan for it. We don't think about it. So, for example, if you're a person who gets up and you never make time for breakfast, maybe that would be a nutrition schedule that would really obviously make a big difference for you nutritionally and would be one thing you can do to be on schedule. Or if you skip lunch, we know that doesn't help the body, and the more nutrition you get earlier in the day is helpful. So perhaps you could start bringing even canned soup and a piece of fruit to eat for lunch, or just something real easy so you're getting some nutrition in earlier. So having that kind of a schedule is important. I think on the other hand, you know, another benefit to that, we've been reading more and more all the time in looking at what was kind of going out nutrition-wise in the last year about how important it is to have family meals. We all know that, but everybody's busy, and particularly for kids, it's really important for them to eat on a schedule and know that, yes, maybe they have a few snacks here and there, but they are eating regular meals and eating with a family and stopping doing everything else while you eat. And that is challenging to make sure everything else is off and there's no TV going and this and that. But these set meals we know really help kids learn about an eating schedule and learn to stop everything and kind of relax and eat. And eating should be enjoyable.
Right.
So setting time for that. So that, I think, is really important. So that'd be number one. I think the second thing is when you're looking at your diet, the kind of things you want to add in. And one of them, there's been a lot of research on proteins and eating quality proteins, meaning things like skim milk and non-fat products, maybe non-fat soy milk, non-fat yogurts, very low-fat meats like grilled chicken breast or turkey breast or lean sirloin if you eat red meat. And so really trying to take a look at what are the proteins you eat, and mostly do you eat a hamburger or cheeseburger, or would you be more apt to grab a grilled chicken sandwich and go easy on the sauce, and looking at what proteins you're taking in, and then trying to break those down evenly throughout the day. So I think that's another thing that we know nutritionally now. There's probably more emphasis on that than ever, and there's a lot of data coming out talking about how important the proteins are as we get older. So making sure that, you know, I always tell my clients, even if there's nothing that you have meat-wise that you have around to eat, or it takes too long to cook, or you're not going to do that, scramble an egg or two. You know, that's always a really excellent, easy protein source if you do eat eggs. And if you don't eat eggs, it might be as simple as opening some canned beans and having beans with whatever else you're eating, so you have some protein available. So I think that's another real important one.
Okay, so those are the top two, and if we have time, we'll come back to some others.
Sounds good.
And in the meantime, let's take a call from a listener who's waiting for us on line one in Champaign. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I have lost 40 pounds in 14 months.
Very good.
And just by eating carefully and eating small. And I have 30 more to go, which I'm hoping to do by the end of the year. But my question is, what does one do with belly fat? Is there eating tips that will help belly fat?
Well,
I know exercise will.
Yeah. You know, nutritionally, when you're consistently eating like you have obviously been doing, congratulations on how well you've done
so far.
That's fantastic. You know, we can't really gauge necessarily where the body's going to lose fat. Of course, we wish we could, but by the different types of foods we eat, it's not necessarily going to drop fat from one area or another, depending upon what the makeup of your diet is. What we do know, though, is that we were just mentioning protein and making sure that when you are losing weight, that your protein is adequate or maybe even a little higher than our recommendation. We can talk about that more. So that as you lose weight, you try to prevent losing lean muscle mass. And obviously, if you maintain your muscle mass while you lose weight and you're exercising, then certainly you would be more apt to tone up as you lose weight. Again, that's not necessarily going to trigger fat loss directly in the stomach, but it may be that if you're exercising, you're doing ab work, you're doing some, you know, you're doing some sit-ups, you're doing some core exercises, those things are really important, and you're doing aerobic exercise to burn fat everywhere, then we also want to make sure that you're eating balanced, your protein intake is higher. At a minimum level, you'd want to take your body weight now and divide it in half, and that should be probably, you know, you should be getting that much protein a day, that many grams.
Really?
Yes. So if you weigh, say, example, someone weighs 180 pounds, they should get 90 grams of protein, particularly when you're trying to lose weight, a day. So for a lot of us, that's a little bit higher than the general recommendations. But that's important because as you lose weight, you also are more apt to lose lean mass if you're not getting enough protein and exercising. And we also know that protein is important in all tissues, and it may help prevent bone loss if you're getting enough protein and other things as well. So that's an important thing. So if you look at grams in something, for example, about a 3-ounce portion, or let's say a deck of cards size of a chicken breast or lean meats, about 20 to 25 grams of protein. You know, 1 ounce of milk is 1 gram of protein. So if you have 10 ounces of milk for a snack, for example, that's 10 grams of protein. So, and you get protein in grains and vegetables as well as what we would typically think of high protein foods. But that would be something I would focus on, because sometimes I'll be working with clients and they'll have dropped their meats a lot to drop fat out of their diet. And all of a sudden, gosh, their protein's way down and they can't maintain muscle mass as well as they would.
Okay. you.
You're very welcome. Other questions, other phone calls are invited this afternoon for licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL.
Well, one of the comments that a listener had was that she was eating smaller meals and watching portions.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so critical. So I'm sure that's been a big help to her, just being aware of the amount of food she eats. Another thing that we know a lot about now is that for many of us, we're in a hurry, we're eating quickly. We may not know how much we ate or what we ate even. I'll sometimes ask clients, what did you have for breakfast? And I'll say, well, I know I ate, but it was so fast, it was in the car, and I really don't remember what I had because it's just not a priority. And so we become real fast in our eating. So as she mentioned, eating small meals is important. That's another one of the tips that I have here for the new year. Make it easy to keep the portions the right size. And to do that, get a sense of what a good portion is. Even something like buying one cup little containers where you can put mm-hmm. things in one cup measurements, or using some of the, you know, baggies where you can use the snack size baggies and filling those up with maybe pretzels or something you'd have for a snack, baby carrots, grapes, those kinds of things, so that you know that that's a portion. I think that's helpful. And even as a dietitian, one thing that I do periodically is I try to make a point to go back and read labels, because I have a pretty good sense of food and what's in food, but I have to be reminded of how much a serving is sometimes, because mm-hmm. we just tend to eat more. We have these really good dark chocolate covered cherries at home, and sometimes I'll have a few of those as a snack or as a little dessert. And I was looking at those the other day, and I thought, I really should probably check those calories, and just one little bitty cherry is about 20 or 25 calories. So you can see where four of those isn't very much food, but boy,
no.
That adds up fast.
It
so,
sure does.
So being aware of portions, I think, as she mentioned, is really helpful and an important thing for all of us to do. One thing that is helpful with the portions is actually to just, yeah, as you put food on your plate, take a look at that and even use a smaller plate. There's a lot of data to indicate that just making your dinner on a smaller plate, perhaps plating out the meal ahead of time instead of having everything on the table, really, really helps. So in other words, keep the food away from the table, plate out the meal on a smaller plate, bring those over to the table, make sure there's always a big salad or extra veggies or something that's just going to be filling. So maybe you eat your regular mm-hmm. meal and you munch on those things instead of extra bread or extra of the main dish, and that will really help with calories.
Okay, let's take another call. This is a listener in Urbana on line one. Hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for coming on the show again. Well, mm-hmm. Love to hear you. I'm someone that has dietary limitations, and it seems as I've gotten older, it's gotten worse in terms of what I can eat, and I get really bad gastric reaction, but nothing has been diagnosed. Apparently, I'm fine. So I'm wondering if there is something I could take, like, other than, like, I'm not lactose intolerant, though. Something that I could take in my diet that might help me have more digestive success.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a few things I would think about first. One is keeping a log, and you maybe already do this, keeping log to notice if there are particular foods or particular ways the foods are cooked or maybe not cooked that bothers you more. Of course, a lot of people have a lot of trouble with fresh fruits and vegetables, but once they're cooked or once they're steamed or some of those fibers are broken down, they can handle them a lot better. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Secondly, if you're not already doing it, taking a look at just a general probiotic, which is the good bacteria that you can add in. We think of it in yogurts or things like that are marketed heavily right now, and those are good sources. And then there are also dietary supplements that are probiotics. The one thing about probiotics is that there are many different types of this is a good bacteria is basically what it is, and there's so many different types of bacteria that for some people, certain probiotics work better than other probiotics. So in other words, you might say, well, I've tried yogurt, I've tried this, but maybe you haven't found the strain of the bacteria that works best on your body. And so you may want to try some different types or different companies of probiotic supplements or different types of yogurts and vary those in if you can, because that may be helpful. And then the third thing I would say is that for some people, using digestive enzymes is helpful as well. Digestive enzymes are other supplemental products that you can get that for some people do help with digestion. Now, there's some concern that for some of these supplements, they may get digested right along with the food in your stomach and maybe don't work as well. But usually if they're enteric coated or encapsulated in some form, I've had a lot of clients that have felt that's really helped digestively trying some of these, what might be proteases, which are enzymes that work on proteins, or other enzymes that might work more particularly on fats or carbohydrates. So those would be maybe three things I would suggest, if you're not already doing them, to see if your body could just utilize food better.
Does a listener want to follow up?
No, I think I'm going to try those things and see what happens.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Good luck.
This is the Afternoon Magazine licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat with us today. If you've got a question about diet, nutrition, give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. So if you're in the market for some of these products, are they labeled with what kind of
What kind of probiotic?
Thank you.
Probiotic
is in there?
Yes, they are. And you'll see this on yogurts and things too, and kefirs, the kind of the drinkable yogurt, where they'll say it's lactobacillus or a different type of bacteria that's added, and different companies have different groups of bacteria that they use. And so sometimes people will try one brand and it won't work very well, but another brand will work better. So, and it's not that we know which kind would work for each one of us, but it's worth trying some different brands, because again, they will have different types of bacteria added. And so, and there are different products also that are a lot of times they're in the refrigerated sections of natural food stores, where there'll also be the probiotic supplements. And some of those might say a broad probiotic, where they'll have more than one bacteria in them. And some of them might just have one main bacteria, but there are many different varieties too that can be helpful.
Yeah. How soon should you expect a result?
Well, it really depends. I mean, for some people, they need to be taking those a few, two or three or 4 weeks to really notice a difference. So I would say if you take them 2 or 3 days and don't notice a difference, don't give up yet, because what happens is our gut, of course, has a lot of bacteria in it. And we normally think, gosh, don't give me more bacteria, right? But what happens is if you can gradually build up more good bacteria in your intestinal system, then your body can digest food better if your bacteria has been low, especially if someone's been on medications that affect it, like the, you know, you're getting on an antibiotic, for example, that kills the good bacteria and the bad bacteria. Right.
Yeah.
So that's really a common thing everybody should be doing, is getting on a probiotic or using yogurt every day if you've been on an antibiotic.
Yeah. In this kind of a situation, would it be worth considering what kind of foods you take in at certain times of the day and mix it up? Or I guess you said keep a record.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. I think sometimes, you know, there are all kinds of books out there on food combining and saying that you don't digest food well if you put these two foods together. Well, we don't really know that that's true.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work, and there's not a lot of data to indicate that that's necessarily how the body works. But I do think that we're just all so different that there might be combinations that for you work well and for me don't work well. And so if someone can chart the time of day, what they ate, any type of reactions that they may have had, and continue to chart that for a good week, that might give some indication of where the problem areas might be, that you could mix some things around. And I think the other thing, there's always the chance that someone just has an intolerance to certain foods, and it's never necessarily been diagnosed. And it might be that by doing that, you can say, gosh, every time I had almonds, I had a problem. Or every time I had a certain, you know, fruit with seeds, I ended up having a problem. And the other thing, it sounds like she's done a good job of, you know, going to her physician and having things checked out. But that's obviously the other thing, is if someone has chronic gastrointestinal problems or a lot of gas or something like that, it's good to go to your healthcare provider and just make sure there's not anything else going on physiologically too.
Okay, very good. Licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat with us this afternoon. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Susan joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month, although this month she is with us here on the second Monday of the month. Listeners, if you've got a question, a comment, give us a call, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, if you'd like to join our discussion. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455. So you want to give us another one of your top nutrition tips for 2010?
Yes. Another one that I have here is to eat greens every day. Now, for some people, they might say, ooh, I'm not real big fan of spinach, or maybe they don't like to eat a lot of salad, but there are a lot of different ways you can do it. One thing I've been doing lately is making a lot of spinach soup. I found a good recipe for spinach soup, and it's actually very easy. You just saute some onions, really anything you'd want, but I usually use onions and celery and saute that in a little bit of olive oil, and then add either a vegetable broth, or you could add bouillon cubes if you want chicken bouillon, and make that up to maybe 3 or 4 cups
of liquid.
You could add in a little bit of pepper if you want, and other herbs and spices, and then add in, and then take a small package of frozen spinach, mm-hmm. and either drain it really well in a colander and get all the water out of it, or pat it dry in a towel, and then put that in, mix that in, and then you could take that after it heats up and cooks up, and you can, if you'd wanted to, you could add a little bit of milk to that and make it a little bit more creamy, or you could leave it the way it is, and then just blend that in a blender and mm-hmm. bring it back to the mm-hmm. stove and blend it in parts, and it's actually really, really good. So it's very easy. It's just another way to eat spinach or eat greens. I can remember as a kid, the only way I ate them would be canned spinach that was slimy on my plate, and I still don't like that, but I do like it in a salad, and I do like it, in a sandwich. Consider, if you're making a sandwich, we'll throw in a lot of extra spinach or dark lettuce of some kind, just to make sure you're getting those greens. There are so many nutrients in spinach and kale and other dark greens, whether it's nutrients that help the eyes or help the heart or just give us a lot of extra vitamins and minerals. And so that would be a food that you really don't have to eat much of to get so much benefit from. And so finding ways to do that, I think, is really, really helpful. Even something, we've talked about this before, if you have kale or some type of green, they're actually really inexpensive in the grocery store. Just buying those, washing them, chopping them up into pieces, throwing them in the freezer so the next time you do have, maybe you have a canned bean and vegetable soup mm-hmm. and you throw in a handful, or you're making pasta anyway. Mm-hmm. So the very end of making your pasta, throw some of that in the water to just cook up a little bit on the top, drain it, and whatever you're making the pasta with, you've got some greens in it.
All right.
So there's easy ways to do that.
Yeah, okay. Very good. And one of the things that I think that I'm going to try make a habit of in 2010 is your number 8.
Yes.
Try cooking a new food once a week.
And it sounds like you do a good job of that, by the way, too.
Pretty good. Well, we did this weekend. We did a couple of new recipes, one of which actually you're supposed to stir in spinach. You put the soup stew into a bowl, mm-hmm. and then you just put the spinach on top and just stir it in, baby spinach. So it's very, very easy to do. All you have to do is clean it off a little bit and stir it in, and there
perfect.
You go.
Well, that's another good point. It doesn't necessarily even have to cook, but you could just stir it in at the end. That's great.
Yeah. There are a few things, though, at the store that I have yet to delve into. I'm struck by some of the wonderful things that are there that we don't maybe eat as often as we should. Parsnips
mm-hmm.
are great food.
Right.
And beets.
Beets are a wonderful food.
Cabbage.
Cabbage is so good for you and inexpensive.
So, and those wouldn't be new foods, I guess, for us, but I don't know how often we enjoy them.
Right.
So
we've been having a lot of Brussels sprouts, and that kind of gets into that greens. And again, Brussels sprouts, if they're overly cooked, I really don't care for them. But a real simple way to make Brussels sprouts, which like cabbage are just so good for you in so many ways, anti-cancer components in those, to just take off the outside leaves, wash them, cut the ends off, and then cut them in half, just chop them in mm-hmm. half, and then just put a little bit of olive oil or butter in the pan. I have butter on the mind because I've been watching a bunch of old shows of Julia Child. I had gotten those for a present, and so I've been watching all these old shows, which are just wonderful to watch. And so of course, I'm thinking of butter because she uses butter with everything. But then just sautéing them
uh-huh.
With the flat side down and putting a top on it so it steam cooks as well. And boy, are those good too. So that's another, just another way, like you're saying, maybe thinking of different ways to cook these foods so that we'll eat them more. Because any of those vegetables are just so good for you. And study after study after study indicates that decreasing your risk of disease is so related to your intake of produce, but especially mm-hmm. vegetables. Fruits mm-hmm. and vegetables both, but certainly the higher the vegetable intake, the lower your risk of many disease states. And that's, of course, one of the things we're really concerned about nutritionally. But so number eight is that try cooking a new food once a week. And I put in this recommendation, my recommendation for a new cookbook. If you would get one cookbook for 2010 or one nutrition book, what I would recommend is a brand new book that's out called The Mayo Clinic Diet. And in fact, it's so new that I've ordered it. I've reviewed it and ordered it, but I don't have my own yet. But I was really impressed by taking a look at it. It's a solid book that goes through tips if you're interested in losing a little bit of weight, too, but also just ways to change your eating behaviors, little things you can do nutritionally to make mm-hmm. a difference over time. And then it also includes several different recipes. One thing that USA Today has done, and they've done this online, too, they always start the new year by looking at New Year's changes and a weight loss challenge and all these things. And so they're highlighting that book as well as a book to get some easy recipes out of. So that would be good too, considering that's a good source. The Mayo Clinic is a real good source for nutrition.
Okay, let's take another call. This is a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Hi. That is me, is it?
Yep, it is.
I have a sort of a strange question, I guess. If you don't like vegetables and can't eat a lot of the ones that you're recommending because I'm on a blood thinner,
mm-hmm.
I like fruit. What are the benefits of fruit, canned fruit and fresh, and can you substitute for vegetables?
Very good questions. Yes, I would say the first thing is, yes, you can substitute. Again, both fruits and vegetables are so helpful to you, and the thing that we think is the most helpful is to get a wide variety of colors because, of course, the antioxidants and the phytochemicals, these key nutrients that seem to be giving us extra benefit from produce, are generally carried in the color of the fruit or vegetable. So, for example, you may not eat many vegetables because you can't obviously have a lot of greens or things that might have a lot of vitamin K and cause problem with blood clotting. But you might be able to eat more fruits of varied colors. And so, for example, for many people, I say, well, don't eat just apples and bananas and oranges if those are the only things you typically eat, but branch out to berries if you can eat them and branch out to things like even canned apricots or canned peaches, which are extremely high in beta carotene, so good for us that people don't often think they're that good because they're canned. Well, certainly they could be canned or dried as well as fresh and be helpful.
Frozen as well.
And things like canned pears, which are really high in fiber. So yes, you can, what you can do is say, well, I'll eat the vegetables I can eat, and then I will bump up my fruit intake. What we're really shooting for is maybe three different fruits and three different vegetables a day, or in your case, it might have a vegetable or two, but primarily you're going to get three or four fruits a day, because you're going to increase that. So I think that'd be fine.
What is the size of portion?
Well, a portion size in general is about a half a cup. That's typically what we think of as a portion. So
okay.
So we have this goal of, you know, our national goal through the pyramid is a couple cups of fruit a day, maybe three cups of vegetables a day if we can get that in. That's a lot, but I would say even if you get a half cup portion, maybe a total of four, five, six of those a day, that's an excellent way to make sure that you're getting your produce in. The more calories we require, the more we can take in. For people I work with who need extra calories, who really are having trouble getting enough calories in, then they can really bump up things like grape juice and orange juice and get those extra juices in that really keep those calories high and give them extra fruits as well. For those of us who maybe don't need all the calories, mm-hmm. we probably want those half cup juice glasses, those small ones, and then even something like a half banana is a serving. Or, uh-huh. you know, something of about 15 grapes would be about a serving. So,
well, I'm also sort of limited because they don't want me to do things with seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, what's helpful is for you to just go through all the fruits and vegetables that you would ever eat and then make a list of the ones that you can eat that are not going to cause problems for you. And then just say, well, I'm going to try to look at the colors of those and then say, I'm going to try to really vary those colors so most days you get a good range of colors. Even if there's only eight that you can choose from, you may find that you can still do really well nutritionally.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let's take another call, a listener on line two in Urbana. Hello.
Hi. I called several months ago with a question about an adult son who had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and was asking about some dietary information for him. In the last month or so, he's had some setbacks and is now trying a vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, how good is that really? I'm concerned that he's not getting enough calcium or protein.
Well, a vegan diet, if done correctly, can certainly provide enough calcium and enough protein. So, but that's the trick, is that you just have to make sure you're doing it well and getting enough total food to eat. That's one of the big things. For example, you know, beans and peas are great sources of protein, but they're not nearly as high ounce for ounce as meats. So you'd have to eat more of them. So you'd have to make sure you get the calories in there. You know, soy foods, some of the soy foods like tempeh or even wheat gluten, that gives some good protein. There are certain things that are pretty concentrated. So if he's using some of those foods, then it may be very possible for him to get enough protein. Whole grains are pretty high in protein, nuts and seeds and peanut butter and things like that. So many of my clients who are vegan, I had a client recently who was vegan and his protein intake was quite adequate, higher than he probably even needs to get in because he was very good at getting his breakdown taken care of. And calcium, it just depends on the other foods that he might be taking in that might be calcium fortified. For example, if he's drinking orange juice, it's calcium fortified. Boy, two glasses of that is you're halfway to your calcium needs. Or if he has, you know, some of the soy products that are calcium fortified, then that's...
He had tried several of the soy things, but he said now he's developed some intolerance to those, and he thinks maybe it's because it's reacting to a new medication they put him on.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering how in the world, you know, to balance all this out.
Right. Well, it may be, you know, in his case, it might be very helpful to meet with a dietitian and be able to
suggested that when we spoke over the weekend, and he said, well, he hadn't done that yet.
Yes.
But I will call him back and say, I really think you need to do this.
Yeah, I think it'd be helpful. And
he's been, I guess, subsisting on grains and old legumes and that sort of thing. He said he will occasionally eat eggs.
Yes.
But he's cut out all forms of meat and cannot do dairy anymore. That's causing some problems for him.
Well, I think especially if he's got some intolerances and is trying to stay on this vegan, it would be really helpful to meet with a dietitian. The American Dietetic Association does have a whole nationwide network on their website. So depending upon where he is,
Yeah, he is out of state. And,
okay.
That would just be what? AmericanDieteticAssociation.com?
Well, you can get it through just www.eatright, all together, EATRIGHT.org.
So,
yeah,
okay.
eatright.org, and then you can put in, it'll say on there on the main page, find a dietitian. You can put in where you are and kind of specialty area. And so he could actually find someone that specializes in vegetarian nutrition, which would be helpful, and then within a radius of where they are and those kinds of things. And I think it'd be really helpful for him to do that. He may find that takes a lot of stress away from his eating if he just has a pretty solid plan, knows what he can rely on. Then he doesn't have to worry about any of the nutrient needs.
I will give him this information. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat of Nutrition on the Move is with us today. She's a sports and wellness nutritionist. She's also the consulting sports dietitian for Illini Athletics, and she leads nutrition and cooking classes at the ARC. That's the Division of Campus Recreation Activities and Recreation Center, Activities and Recreation Center, ARC, on the Urbana campus of the University of Illinois, the Urbana-Champaign campus. She is on the web at www.nutritiononthemove.net. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Those are the numbers if you'd like to give us a call and talk to Susan this afternoon. Are there tools online for somebody that's a vegetarian, a vegan, or an omnivore, as they say, mm-hmm. To put in what they're eating and have the website kind of give you an idea of what you're doing right and where the holes are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are several good websites. One of them is My Pyramid. Now the My Pyramid website, mypyramid.org or .gov, excuse me. You can put in what you're eating there and actually track that, and that will help you do an assessment of what you're taking in, not only in servings versus what you need, but mm-hmm. also nutrition analysis. So that's a good one. And then the website that was first developed here, the Nutrition Analysis Tool, is a really good one. You could Google Nutrition Analysis Tool, search for that, or it's you can also find it through it's nat.uiuc.edu, and that's one where you can put in what you're taking in. And you could even just search and say Diet Analysis Tool. There's other ones through the USDA that's a lot more huge diet analysis program through the USDA that you can look at. But I think it's really helpful if you're online and you have time to do that, even if you do an analysis of a day periodically, it's very mm-hmm. helpful just to see what you're doing. I do that sometimes, too. At the end of the day, I might just put in everything I've taken in and just try to get a gauge on, you know, how is it looking? Because, again, that's another thing we know. Not only if we're writing down what we're eating and writing down our exercise, we have to do it more. But also, if we get some type of feedback on how we're eating, we're apt to make a change and stick with it. So I think it is helpful, even if that's just an online analysis.
Okay, very good. This is the Afternoon Magazine. Let's take another call now. A listener in McLean County on line one. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about, the product called Day Inactive
mm-hmm.
grocery stores. Generally speaking, how it works and are there any complementary products made by Yoplait or other companies? It's really hard for me to figure out, if there is a substitute for DanActive on the market.
Yes, the DanActive yogurt is one of the yogurts that does have the probiotics. Some of these have additional fibers added to them as well. So it's a good one. What it does is it provides this good bacteria to the gut, and maybe some additional fiber that's helpful with digestion. And it provides, of course, the calcium and the other nutrients and the protein that's needed. And there's not we're not sure that one company's brand is by far the best above somebody else's. But what we do know is kind of like I mentioned earlier in the show, if you have a variety of probiotics that you take in, then maybe your body becomes better equipped to digest and handle gastrointestinal concerns. And just to be healthy, even if you don't have any problems. So what I would suggest is say, don't worry about buying the DanActive all the time. If you like that one, you could get it. That's great. But maybe get another type of yogurt. Maybe you get a Yoplait brand another time and another store brand another time. And they've all got the active cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you wouldn't mind my interrupting you, the DanActive is a drink. It's a little tiny bottle of drink. It's not a yogurt. At least they don't call themselves yogurt. The Activia is a yogurt that Dan makes.
Yes.
And DanActive is a liquid drink that they make also.
Yes, and they're all pretty similar in terms of, having the good cultures in there and having it does have the probiotics in it, that DanActive. Uh-huh. It's just more in a drink form. So, and even the drinkable yogurts that are similar kind of to that would have a varied amount of these probiotics. But yeah, if you like that DanActive, it's certainly great. But I would say vary what you're taking in, whether it's a drink, the smaller drinkable form, or whether it's a yogurt smoothie, or whether it's a kefir, because a lot of people prefer the kefir, which is drinkable and has the good bacteria. And then that way you're getting more of a wide range of coverage, basically, from the probiotics.
Okay. And if you were to try to make yogurt using those products, do you think you get about the same amount, or have you ever tried that even? I mean, I don't know if you've ever tested that.
Yeah, I have not tested that to know if it's the same amount. But, if you were to make your own yogurt, it would really kind of, you're saying from scratch, yogurt from scratch?
Yeah, but I use a little bit of DanActive and a little bit of Activia as my culture.
Okay.
Mix the too.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense to me, that maybe you're getting more of a mix then of the cultures when you're making your own that way.
The only reason I'm asking you this is because I get confused. Dan Active has, or Dannon has made this big deal about Dan Active as being this wonderful thing, and the way they advertise it, and if you look at the store, they don't make it clear if there are other substitutes for that Dan Active, if there are other products that do have probiotic in them.
Yes.
That's really what I'm getting at.
Right, and the other products do as well. So it's more of a, again, I think it's probably marketing as much as anything else,
yeah.
saying that this is the best product, and I think it's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that it's, I think the best way to do it, at least the way I do it and the way from people I've talked to who work in this area and research the area of probiotics, is generally what's recommended is don't use the same product all the time. Vary your product so that you get a more wide range of probiotic coverage, since they all do have probiotics in one form or another.
Okay, so try different yogurts each time that you go. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome. We can probably get one or two more calls in this afternoon for Susan Kundrot. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Toll-free 800-222-9455. 333-WILL. Toll-free 800-222-WILL. Another tip?
Another tip is eat nuts or seeds every day.
Okay.
And you wouldn't even have to eat a lot of them. A serving of almonds is about 23, which actually is a considerable amount. That's about an ounce. But just some type of nut or seed daily, if you can handle those, is very helpful as far as trying to boost those good fats. We know that they're good fats from things like salmon and tuna and flaxseed and these things. And the nuts and seeds, there have been many, many studies that have come out in the last few years on the benefit cardiovascularly, may be helpful with hypertension, and also nuts and seeds tend to be filling. So if you eat, for example, if you just have an apple for a snack, you might be hungry in an hour, but if you have an apple and a little handful of pistachios with it, then that might really carry you over. So I'd say that's one thing that I would try to do daily if you like that. We talked about the produce, because that was number five. Make a pledge to produce. Find times during the day that you can eat your fruits and veggies, and don't feel like you have to eat them all at every meal. But one thing that I try to do personally is I try to have three fruits at breakfast. Maybe I have a little orange juice, or half a grapefruit, and half a banana. Most breakfasts, that's just what we do, so that we know there's mm-hmm. three in there. And then most dinners, we try to have two or three veggies to try to get those in. So even consider having a full veggie meal once a week, where you might have a baked potato and broccoli on that with a little cheese and vegetable soup, and maybe you're having fruit, and mm-hmm. just make that meal pretty much a produce meal. And that's an easy way to get that in.
And maybe think of fruit as a dessert item.
Exactly.
A little something sweet at the end.
Right. And then I would say, we talked about the MyPyramid.gov, but set up a nutrition checkup. I mean, it's sort of like going to see your doctor every year. I think we really do need to just step back from our diet every year and say, okay, what am I doing? Open up the cabinets and take a few minutes to look in there and say, well, are there things here that I really don't need to be eating all the time?
Yeah.
Or even just to clean them out. We did that this weekend and cleaned out the cupboards, and I was amazed, mm-hmm. even though I think I'm pretty on top of food, and there were some old things in there that we had to really get rid of and say, okay. So maybe if you get rid of some of that old stuff, it makes a little more room for some newer
healthy
things that you
things.
Want to try.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Let's take another call, at least one more here. Urbana, line one, hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if you could comment on what foods have anti-inflammatory properties. I know ginger and I think cinnamon do, but anything beyond that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been some real interest in the fats. We talked a bit about nuts and seeds and oils and things like that. These good fats or monounsaturated fats, particularly things like salmon and tuna and mackerel and sardines, and these fish that have omega-3s have been found to be really beneficial for anti-inflammatory. If you're really looking for decreased inflammation for one reason or another, I'd probably suggest taking a fish oil supplement, because it's pretty hard to get enough in food. Maybe even just a 1 gram supplement. A lot of people do that, and a lot of places it's just kind of a natural recommendation if you're trying to decrease inflammation. And those that you mentioned, those herbs and spices, are very helpful. And also things like cherry juice, for example. There's been some good studies on cherry juice and decreasing inflammation in people with osteoporosis and arthritis, maybe being helpful. And so even the concentrated cherry juice, perhaps these other antioxidants like pomegranate and even dark purple grape juice that have high antioxidant quality, may decrease inflammation too. And so this whole issue of getting more produce is helpful, but particularly this quite a bit of interest in cherry juice. And so that might be something worth looking at, even frozen cherries, using those in a smoothie or having those available just to plop in your mouth or things, so you're getting this good dark color from that as well. And so those would all be things I would do. And the other thing I would think about is actually the same thing as number 10 on my list, which is hydration. Because sometimes, you know, to decrease inflammation in the body, we really need to stay hydrated. We need to have a way for our body to get the nutrients in and get to work. And so making sure that you are staying hydrated may have a benefit there as well.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon. And vitamin D, has it been shown to have a role in anti-inflammatory?
Well, there has been some interest in vitamin D as well. And kind of that comes to the point of most of us probably, or many of us, being low in vitamin D. So making sure that you have your vitamin D levels checked at least once a year and get those checked with your physician to find out where you are. That might be something you need to supplement with, as well as using the vitamin D fortified foods and milks and things like that. That can be very helpful. So,
okay. Well, there we'll leave it for this month. And again, Susan's top nutrition tips for 2010, if you'd like a copy of that. And also there's a recipe that she brought that we didn't get a chance to talk about. If you'd like to get a copy of these two items, send us a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Afternoon Magazine at WILL Radio, and we'll get it out to you. And we'll see you in February.
Okay, sounds good. Stay warm.
Okay, you too. Susan Kundrat, she joins us once a month here on the Afternoon Magazine.